Thank you, Lord. Okay, it's Wednesday evening, 8:25:21. We're still looking at a no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation. We're going to look tonight at the first and second coming of Jesus. All right, turn to Daniel chapter 7. Oh, it's like ice up here. All right, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I beheld to the wings, therefore were plucked, and it was lifted from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Beheld another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of men, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me, and I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And the 10 horns that were in his head, and all the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Until the Ancient of Days came, a judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first. He shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall swear out the saints, or wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. and they shall be given into his hand until times and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Heretofore is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, I don't even know how to say that word. Cogitations were much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart.
Cogitations,
okay. So there's a lot to be said in that chapter. When I read that, I think about, you know, what's going on right now and how they thought that through dominion they were going to take over the world. But guess who's taking dominion over dominion, you know? But anyway, this is evidently a account of the end time events and the second coming of Jesus. It talked about his second coming, the one that would rule and take away dominion, this dominion of this beast. Okay. All right, now Daniel chapter 9. I have a point, but I got to read some scriptures first to get to that point. All right, the 70 years of desolation. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he should accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now I want you to, this is key, because people get confused about the abomination of desolation. The 70 years in exile, this is the abomination of desolation. Okay, we'll keep reading. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, that the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because he have sinned against him. We have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil, for under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city, Jerusalem, the holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant, and the supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. There we see the desolation again. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. So Daniel's standing in the gap for his nation. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yes, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. He informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin. So that's the 70 years that Jeremiah the prophet prophesied, and to make an end of sins, and to make a reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. All right, this is talking about when Jesus was crucified. He was taken off the scene. Now the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay, this is evidently the account of the Babylonian exile and the first coming of Jesus. Daniel is interceding for his nation, and God revealed to him events that Jesus also talked to his disciples about in Matthew chapter 24. Now let's go to Matthew 24. People lumped this all together, and so the Lord just showed me to define it. That's why we get so confused. We all just put it in one pot and stir it all up. Okay, Matthew 24:15. Jesus is talking about right here. Now these titles say this coming of the Son of Man, even the ones who wrote this Bible. But anyway, it says, verse 15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Jesus is not talking about the end times here. He's talking about what happened after he left, 70 years later. Okay. But a lot of people, they get that all confused. Okay. And this is the event that happened that caused Daniel and his nation to go into Babylon in exile. Antiochus Epiphanes' proclamation of the Jewish temple, Antiochus offered a pig on the sacred altar of the temple. Most equate this to prior to the second coming of Jesus. It has caused men to look for signs or they won't believe. We get into trouble when we look for signs. All right? In fact, the young man that I talked to last week, he asked me, well, what do you feel about, the third temple being built over there? And I said, well, let me tell you about that. I said, Jesus said, tear down these stones, and in three days I'll build it back. Oh, he said, I see what you're saying there, you know. It's pretty simple. All right, Matthew 16, back just a few pages here. Well, no, it can be the end times. They hadn't built the third temple yet. Well, they're going to be waiting a long time for that one. All right, Matthew 16 says here, I forget what verse. I typed it out, so it's a good thing, because I didn't write which verse. It says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Then Genesis 1:14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So God gave us the stars. If we wanted to see signs, we'd know His coming because of that. All right. All right, since before President Trump was voted into office, there have been many astronomical signs that have given us some clues that we are in the day of Jesus' second coming, the blood moons, for example. You can go online and look at, I have a teaching on it that I brought the literature and I showed you the sign of the Son of Man. Okay. All right, that's his first coming. What happened? The wise men saw the star and they followed the star. What's going to happen at second coming? We've seen the stars. We've seen the moon turn to blood in that great and terrible day of the Lord. Okay. Mark 14:58 says, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another without hands. Now we know this was not a literal temple, yet many are waiting to see if they build a third temple to believe that they are in the end times. God moved out of the box, the Ark of the Covenant, when Jesus became the ultimate one-time sacrifice for all mankind. He is not going back into the box to suit men and their literal interpretations. He's not going to go back into the box. What was Jesus saying then to them when he said that? Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. John chapter 2, verse 19. Just the one I quoted to you. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Okay. Now the next one is 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ. He's talking about his body, the temple of his body being raised up. Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Okay, now turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Jesus died, finished the law and its ordinances, and raised up a new temple, the third temple. All right, John 19:30, Jesus said, it is finished on the cross concerning the law. The law was never God's idea. Oh, it was his idea, but he did not want them to walk by the law. He wanted them to walk by faith, but because they wouldn't do anything he said, okay, I'm going to give you what you want. You want a bunch of do's and don'ts to toe the line because you come out of slavery. That's what you want, and that's what I'm going to give you, and it's going to be so hard that you break one, you break it all, and you won't be possible for you to fulfill it. Why? So they would turn back to the Lord. A temple that no longer barred men from entry. See, the other temple barred men from entry. Okay, Matthew 27, 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. So the way men couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, you know the story. They couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, and as soon as Jesus was died, and he's the sacrifice complete, that blood ran down to the Ark of the Covenant down there, hidden, buried right under in Golgotha. That blood went right down on that mercy seat. I mean, he did present his blood to God. But the earthly Ark of the Covenant is in Golgotha. It still is. That's where that man found it. Right under Jesus. The earthquake happened. The graves were open. People got, you know, rose from the dead, come up out of their graves. But that blood went on that mercy seat. And when it happened, that's when that big, huge, massive curtain rent from top to bottom. God rent it. So man was no longer barred from him. All right. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. I forget how tall it is, but it's bigger than any human man anyway that he could have ripped it. Okay. All right, Hebrews 7. One of the first Bibles that the Lord started giving me understanding on many years ago was the book of Hebrews. It just came alive to me. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. There was no way for men to draw nigh unto God under the old covenant. All right, Hebrews 8. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices before it of necessity, that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Who's Judah? We're Judah. We're from the line of the tribe of Judah, Jesus. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which is decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Then verily the first covenant had only ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant laid round about with gold, wherein was the gold pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tabernacle of the covenant. And over at the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which we offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ become a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So he did a great thing. All right, chapter 10, verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So all this outward Old Testament under the law viewpoint has really messed everything up. There's so much mixture nowadays. God will not honor the third Jewish temple if it's built. He is not going to be there. He's not going to be there. He left there. He never plans on coming back. All right? They're not going to ever put him back in the box. Never. Okay? All right? It's not, and it's no longer just about the Jews, as narratives suggest. Now it's about spiritual Israel. Okay, we're going to read about spiritual Israel. Romans chapter 2. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. I didn't say that. God said that. So get over it. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. I know if there's a Jew listening to me later, he probably won't like this, and I might get another ugly comment on YouTube, but I don't care, because this is what the Word of God says. You know, if we'd been taught right, then we would not be all messed up the way we've been. So, anyway, personally, I believe that the satanic elites have messed everything up so we would not see the real truth about things. But thank God, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and His ordinances are written on our heart. We know what's right. Whatever they mess with, it doesn't make any difference because we walk by the inward witness. We have the Holy Ghost, the teacher of the church, inside of us to lead and guide us into all truth. Show us things to come. He knew they'd mess with things. Have they messed with things? They messed with everything. Everything. All right. A Jew is not assured salvation any more than we are unless they come through Jesus Christ. Ooh, that hurts. Get over it. It's the truth of the Word of God. John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Period. It's not happening. I don't care how good of a Jew you are and how much of the law you keep. You're going to hell if you don't know Jesus. Sorry. It's the truth. God abandoned that and he is no longer in it. I don't care how devout you are. If you've been 1,000 temples and worship in them all, it's not going to get you to heaven or not get you to salvation. All right? Acts 7:48. Howbeit, all right, it's talking about, but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. He doesn't dwell with a temple made with hands. All right, Acts 17:24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand what this book is really saying. Some of the best that we knew, teachers, have written books about Revelation, and they missed it too. Nothing against them. I'm just thankful that now the Lord's showing us the truth. All right, the Holy Ghost is the teacher of the church. This is John 16:13. All right, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. All right, now I want to finish with Matthew 24, the second part of Matthew 24, where we started. There's two things Jesus is talking about here. He talked about the 70 years after he left, what would happen. Then he talks about the end of days. All right, Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation. Such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall rise false Christs, false prophets, who shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as if it were possible they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Remember, he is coming, it says, with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Out when you're outside, when it lightens, lightning happens, do you see it? Man, it just... That's the way he's coming. Nothing that's done in a corner. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will but eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Right off the bat, we're going to have a family reunion. All right. Just like Daniel, the two dreams that he had, they are not all in the same place. It's not at all time frame. They're not all in the same time frame. One was his first coming, and the other was his second coming. Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 9. When we don't rightly discern the times in the scripture, all it does is cause more confusion. Okay. All right.